as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male opening the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice, according as it is written in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was in him. And he had received an answer from the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when his parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he also took him into his arms and blessed God and said, Now thou dost dismiss thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word in peace, because mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to the revelation of the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Thus are the words of today's holy gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Reverend Father, dear faithful, so in the gospel we just read, we see Our Lady and Saint Joseph faithfully observing 2 points, in fact, of the Old Testament law. When the Hebrews were enslaved in Egypt, and God sent the angel of death to strike down the firstborn of Egypt, the Hebrew firstborn were spared. And having delivered his people from the slavery that they had been in for so many years, God asked them from then on to commemorate that act of kindness on his part, that sparing that took place. And he claimed a special primacy over the firstborn males from then on. And so when a firstborn male child was born, he was taken to the temple and given to God symbolically. He would be bought back by a lamb if the family had the means to do so, or by a pair of doves or pigeons. Of course, we realize the Old Testament is fulfilled in the New. And we see our Lord here brought to the temple by Our Lady and Saint Joseph, and he is offered to God. God is offered to God, and he would not be bought back because he was the Lamb. He was the only cause, the only source of deliverance for mankind from the slavery of sin and evil and death. And so Our Lady, when she gave Our Lord in the temple, when she presented him in the temple, she was doing something that went far beyond just the Old Testament law. She was already offering her son. So that was the first point of the Old Testament law. And the second pertained particularly to Mary. When a woman gave birth, according to the Old Testament law, she incurred a certain stain because she was conceived in sin, and she passed on the sin of Adam to her children. While Our Lady, of course, going to the temple to be purified from this legal stain, had no true cause to do so as far as she herself was concerned, because she was not conceived in sin. She was immaculately conceived, and the child that she carried in her womb and had given birth to was the all-holy God. So there was nothing to purify, and yet she went and she fulfilled the law, because she shared already in her son's burden of the sins of the world. He had come innocent, holy, into the world, but he had come into the world to take upon himself the sins of mankind, and she shared in his mission. And so the presentation of the child Jesus in the temple and the purification of Our Lady. And it was when they were observing these 2 points that the old man Simeon saw them. He had been called into the temple because God had revealed to him that he would not die until he saw the Savior born into the world. And because he was close to God, he could hear the voice of God, and he recognized the ways of God. And so he recognized God himself. And he took the child in his arms, and he proclaimed him for what he was, a light the light that would show souls the way to heaven, Jew and Gentile. Our Lord himself would give that name to himself later on. I am the light of the world, he would say. A light because of the truth, or by the truth that he taught. A light by the virtue of his life, the holiness of his life, and the holiness that he called souls to. A light also simply by his very being, by the fact that he was God, source of all life. And so our Lord is the light who's going to dispel the darkness of error. He's going to dispel the darkness of sin. He's going to conquer the darkness of death. That was his mission in this world. But that is our mission, because we are followers of Christ. And that's why on this day, Candlemas Day, at the solemn celebration, candles are blessed and candles are given to the faithful. As a candle was given to each one of you on the day of your baptism, it's an expression of your mission, the mission of each one of us, to be a light in this world. We are not merely here to save our souls. We are meant to be a light that draws souls to God, that draws souls to his church, that helps them find their way. And how? How can we be a light? We can be our light principally by our faith and by our charity. Our faith first, standing strong in what we know to be true as Catholics, being open about what we believe as Catholics, professing openly, willingly, with joy, the truth of the Catholic faith. And of course, that means we need to know it. We need to know it well. Because otherwise, how can we defend it? How can we explain it? How can we even present it in its simple forms if we don't know it? One who doesn't know his faith and at the same time claims to be Catholic does a disservice to the faith. He shows that although he claims to be Catholic, it doesn't mean that much to him. He's not that serious about it. And that's very damaging to a soul who sees that. For one who says this is the only way to God, this is the only true church, and that he doesn't know anything about that church, or he knows very little, or he can't answer my questions. And so it's by knowing our faith, firstly, that we can draw souls to the faith, but also by openly professing it. And that's something which is hard for us. We've been so conditioned by our society to keep faith as something simply for self, and almost be ashamed of it, perhaps at times. And so it's hard for us to stand up and speak openly about what we believe and what we know to be true. 10 days ago, we were out there on Route 24. We were protesting the terrible sin of abortion, standing up and saying, this offends God, this is wrong. And praying openly, publicly, saying the only way to turn our society around is to go back to God. That kind of a manifestation of the faith, public manifestation of the faith, for many is very difficult and yet very necessary. Not simply when we're standing along the road for some exceptional statement like that, but every day when we go to a restaurant and we need to say grace before meals, when we're in the workplace, with our friends, and so on, we must not be ashamed of our faith. We must not be smash those who don't understand, who don't see, but at the same time, we must not leave them thinking that everyone can believe whatever they want either. So faith and charity. When we talked about our Lord being a light, we said he was a light by what he taught, but we also said he was a light by what he was. He was God, the source of all life, and he lived a holy life. And so it must be for us. It's not enough that we believe. It's not enough that we go to the traditional Mass. We must, by what we are, manifest the truth of our faith, draw souls to God, be a light. By what we are, firstly, Catholic in the state of grace. We don't think of that part of it because it's hidden. We don't see it. And yet a soul in the state of grace, by that very fact, brings the light of God in the world. a little baby who's baptized, who cannot speak, who cannot go walk down the street, still has brought a presence of God in the world because God dwells in that little one's soul. And all of us, when we were baptized, we received that life of God in us, and we are meant to carry that life of God through this world all the days of our life. And to not be in the state of grace as a Catholic, then, is to, in fact, be responsible for this world being a darker place than it should have been. Even if we didn't commit sins every day, we commit one sin and don't go to confession, we're not in the state of grace. We're not carrying Christ in this world, then. This world's a darker place, and the whole suffers for it. But of course, that life of grace has consequences. The fact that we carry Christ with us, the fact that we are a temple of God, the fact that we are meant to mirror the goodness of God, the light of God into our world. We are meant to live a Catholic life and draw souls to God through that, be a light that draws to the church through that. Our Lord himself said so explicitly. He said, "You are the light of the world." He also said, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." So it's the way we live our life, our everyday life, whether it's at school or in the workplace or with our friends or when we have a gathering in the house. It's by that everyday life and the spirit that we live that life with that shows people what it is to be Catholic. In other words, what it is to be religious and to be on the path to God with his grace. And of course, if we fail in that regard, just as if we're not in the state of grace, the world's a darker place for it. So if we don't live our faith, the world's a darker place for it. There are souls that will not be saved because of the bad example of Catholics. Because there are Catholics who present a life that's not Catholic and leave souls thinking that there's no difference between a Catholic and anyone else. And so there's a tremendous responsibility there. And to live our faith, to be a light in that way, with faith and charity, that costs a lot. And that's actually something that, it's not in today's gospel, but it is in today's feast. Remember when the prophet Simeon took the child in his arms, he's so happy because this is the Savior of the world. This is the answer to the darkness of the world. But when he gave the child to his mother, when he gave him back to his mother, they were words of great sorrow that he spoke to her. The sorrow that this child would be destined not only for the rise of many, but for the fall of many, because there would be those who would not accept him, would not follow him, and that a sword would pierce her heart because of that. It's part of the cost of following our Lord, the sword that pierces the heart. It's part of the cost of following our Lord to carry our cross. Our Lord tells us so explicitly, "He who would come after me, let him take up his cross." Elsewhere he says, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before you. The servant is not greater than his master. To follow me means to walk the path I walked, so it means to suffer as I suffered." And it's understandable if we think about it. First of all, because the devil hates God, and he wants to see souls destroyed in order to get at God, so to speak. But also because our world is in darkness, and so it shies from the light. The same way you do, if someone walks in your bedroom early in the morning when it's still dark outside, and you're sleeping and they flip on the light, you're not accustomed to the light, so immediately you cover your eyes, you close your eyes. It hurts your eyes, the light. And so the light of Christ, in a certain way we can say, causes suffering to the world in darkness. Not because he's not good, but because they're not good. And so there's a clash. And there's a fear. Because the light destroys the darkness. The sun, when it comes up in the morning, pushes the darkness away by that very fact. You can't have light and darkness at the same time and in the same place. And so there is a clash, inevitably a clash, between Christ and this world of darkness under the prince of darkness, and therefore also between those who truly follow Christ and this world. And so it takes on our part, if we would follow him, if we would be a light, it takes courage, it takes strength. But it's that courage and that strength in living our faith that's part of the light. It draws in a world that doesn't believe in anything, that believes that there is no truth, and that therefore it doesn't matter what we do, and that it's really up to the individual to decide what's right for him or not. To see souls who really believe that something is true and something is false, something is right and something is wrong, and that what is true and what is right must be adhered to with all one's heart, even at great cost, that sends a message. And if our world is not what it should be, it's because not enough Catholics send that message. And so on this day, when we think of Christ as our light, and we remember that we are meant to be, as followers of him, a light, let us ask for courage, let us ask for generosity, so that we can truly manifest our faith and live truly a life of charity to draw souls to him and one day be with him ourselves forever in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.